I want to read something to you. You are all aware that recently we voted to bring Sister Sherry into the membership. And typically, you don't have to read these letters. Typically, you don't have to. We just take them, we say, oh, thank you for the letter, and we call it a day. But I want to read this one to you because this one got me all bugged. In a good way. In a good way. A good way. This is greetings from Faith Baptist Church in Clarksville, Tennessee. We received your request for a letter concerning our dear sister Sherry Titus. While we expected this letter, it comes with great emotional loss and also great joy. We are thankful our Lord led her and Mark to come be with us several years ago. We had such great times with them, including our beloved Amanda. We are missing them here and grieve for their loss, and yet we are so thankful that we can take great comfort in where the Lord has led Sister Sherry. We love the body there at Mount Morris, and our church voted unanimously to approve this letter of recommendation to Home Missionary Baptist Church. Like Paul said of Sister Phoebe to the church at Rome, Romans 16:1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at, Centuria. Verse 2, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. This can be said of Sister Sherry Titus. We love her and Amanda, and commit them to your loving care. And folks, that is class. That is class. And also the reason why reading the passage of Scripture is going to be difficult for me. I'll be honest, I thought I'd have to go down there and arm wrestle them. I did. Right? John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years. Anybody had an infirmity that stopped your life for 38 years? No. Going back to the scripture here, verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? Now, again, I love this group of guys. They are hilarious. I mean, again, it's almost like a sitcom. There's this man 38 years in the bed. Not a comfortable bed, not a nice bed, not a Willy Wonka bed where there's four of them in there. And still can't quite figure out how four of them sat there with their legs the way that they were. I don't get it. But all the same, it's not like that. He sat by a pool waiting for an angel to come down. The Bible's not specific. It just said in a season. So it could be today, could be tomorrow, could be 7 months from now. He had no idea. But he sat at the pool waiting for it to be troubled just to have some other guy step down before him so he could watch someone else get healed, right? So this is, I mean, you're haggard, you're awful. I mean, you see the bed sores people have when they sit in these nice ergonomic healthy hypoallergenic beds that they got at the hospital. They get bed sores. Imagine this guy sitting there by a pool made of hard stone all this time sitting there. Finally, he gets up and he carries this bed. This man did not shower. He did not get balms and things, salves rubbed all around him. He looked like he'd been sitting there for who knows how long. Jesus looked at him. Of course, being Christ, he knew. But everybody probably knew, right? This is not a guy who slept well last night. Many of them would have witnessed this miracle, following Jesus around, looking for a reason to accuse him. Well, brother, how do you know that they were there looking for a reason to accuse him? Because they found one. They had to stretch for it. But these guys, here he is carrying his bed. Whoa, that's not lawful. This man was, he was disabled for 38 years. That's unlawful. Now here's the thing, if some pastor goes out there and he takes the word of God and he says, well, that we don't have to do that anymore, right? That's wrong. When Jesus Christ does it, different animal. Right? This isn't like the modern day prophet today of, well, Jesus told me, right? That's, he was Jesus. Get up, get your bed, get out of here. And yet there's these guys, I crack up almost every time because you know they're looking for a problem. They're walking by, here's somebody we can put down. Here's somebody we can egg on. Here's somebody we can puff our chests at. We're so much better than this guy. So let's call, whoa, it's not lawful for you to carry your bed. Not, why are you carrying a bed? Not, why do you look so disheveled coming from the pool of Bethesda? Like, there's some common logic there. Did you know we could go visit this pool today? I looked it up. You could go visit. We found it again back in the 1880s. They built, the late 1880s, they built a cathedral next to it. The walls of this thing are covered in frescoes of this story. Right now, presumably this happened much after. Who did it? I don't know. But it's down to the letter of where it said that it was. We found it. We could go visit it. Now, here's the thing. You fill it with water. I don't think the angel's going to come and trouble it. I think those things are long gone. But everybody knew about the pool. Right, this is something people would have known. Seeing this man walk away from the pool carrying his bed, they were convinced of one thing. You're not allowed to do that. You're not supposed to be doing that. Now, we'll come back to those guys. I always get a kick out of them. But all the same, let's look at this guy, and he's having this conversation with the Lord. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? You know, many of us, maybe it's not a physical ailment, but maybe it's not even 38 years, but many of us, we either have a physical ailment or a spiritual ailment, and we've been sitting on it for so long, and the answer is staring us bluntly in the face, and we're still going, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you think through your head, everything that's going on in your life, everything you need an answer for, everything you're doing wrong, everything you struggle with, all the problems, all the trials that are going on in your life, right? And if I were to also ask you again, so you take that list, and I want to ask you some questions. Number one, do you believe that the Word of God is the inerrant, infallible Word of God? We would say, yeah. Do you believe that it is good for doctrine? Do you believe that it's good for reproof? Do you believe it's good for those things? Well, yeah, brother, of course I do. You know what we believe. We believe that. You know, sometimes I've got a bad habit. Maybe you do too. I got to take medication in the morning. I got to take medication at night. You ever forget your medication? Yeah. Do you ever forget your medication like this? Not just, didn't take my meds. You ever forget your medication as in, well, I could double back downstairs right now, go get my medication. Or I could be on time and you choose not to take it. Folks, I think that's what we do with the Word of God. I see my ailments. I see my problems. I see what's wrong. I believe that the answer to those things can be found within Jesus. Within these pages, I know the answer is in there. But I'm not going to take my medicine today. But I'm not going to apply it. Folks, that is, again, we look at the question, wilt thou be made whole? And it's interesting that he uses the word will. Because, folks, that is what our problem is. we've got this will that wants to do multiple things, and oftentimes they're not together. I want to wake up tomorrow and have a sinless day. I want to wake up tomorrow and keep all of my stuff together, and I want to be productive, and I want to give the gospel where it is needed, and I want to do all the things that God has commanded me, and I want to do it perfectly, and I want to be able to fix the things that are wrong. I want to lay aside those things, and I want to achieve, I want to press towards the mark, right? That is what I want. But if that is all I wanted, oh, what an easy thing it would be. But is that all we want? No, we want more. We want different. That there was a comedian who told this joke, and I thought it was hilarious. He talked about going through the McDonald's drive-thru. Have you heard this one? And as he didn't have a choice. He had to get food. It was running out of time, so he's in the McDonald's drive-thru. I'm going to get a salad. I'm going to get a bottle of water. I'm going to get a salad. I'm going to get a bottle of water. I'm going to get a salad. I'm going to get a bottle of water. He gets up to the ordering line, and the lady says, "How can I help you? I'd like a Big Mac, a 20-piece chicken nugget, a large chocolate shape, two apple pies, and a Diet Coke, please, is what I would like." There is that war within us. I want to be the best I can for the Lord. I want to be the person that takes my issues, throws them in front of the mirror of Scripture, finds the solution, puts it into place, buries it, and never comes back to mourn. I never want to pick it up again. But folks, if our desire is too much towards those things, that will never happen. It will never happen. You know how many of us sit and we wait for the problems to resolve themselves with the Word of God sitting right there? By the way, that's what this man was doing. He's sitting there futilely. Now, why do I say that? Look at his own testimony. I've sat here. There is no man to put me in the water. I can't get down there. I'll start to crawl over there just to watch someone else go whooshing in. I never get a shot. Many of us, we sin in our problems, and we try to find secondary solutions to Jesus Christ. Yeah, I know the Bible's in there. I know what it says. I know that the answer's in there. I know I could pick up the phone and I could talk to somebody. I know I could call the pastor. I know I could get Scripture into my life and fix this. But I don't. Why? You need to ask yourself, wilt thou be made whole? Do you really want to be better? Do you really want to be better? Look at your sin life. Do you really want to be better? Because if every time we go and we make the same mistakes, it begs the question, is that what you really want? Because you claim you want to love the Lord, you claim you want to serve Him, but what do you say with your actions? What do you say? That's tantamount to that person who votes privately and then carries two different buttons later to change off and on depending on who the winner is. Right? When I'm around my work buddies, right? Yeah, it's okay to have a little drink. Yeah, I think this. Yeah, you gotta take religion and put it in its proper perspective and blah, 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 blah. But when we come to church, we take that button off, we put on another one. Yes, I believe that God is right. Yes, that is a sin. Yes, this world is all falling apart, blah, 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 blah. No, you need to pick a side. What do you really want? And if you want anything shy of the will of God, your will is broken. Not as in broken to be malleable, but it's broken as it ain't working right. It wants the wrong things. We need to have maturity. We need to have not just a broken will, but we need to have a broken heart to the things that aren't working right. There was a book that I have in there. It's called Holy Ambition. And what the guy prayed for was a dislocated heart. Lord, dislocate my heart from anything that would distract me from you. Dislocate my heart from anything that I want outside of your will. And I tell you what, the man did it. He's deliriously happy. Now again, does that mean that there aren't bumps, bruises, grievings, losses, bad days, sick days, upset days? Absolutely. But they are different. They are different than if I were to go through them without the Lord Jesus Christ. We say that we want to be healed, but we are unwilling to be healed. there is a struggle within our will. With our mind, we say we want it. In our heart, we say that we want it. But so often, we want the wrong thing more. And we can't sit there and argue. We try to argue so often. No, I love God more. Yeah, but then why is it that so many of your decisions don't take him into account at all? Why are so many of your decisions contrary to what he says to do? I'll tell you why. Because what you want the fleshly things more. And that's hard for us to swallow. It's hard for us to swallow. So what must I do? Well, number one, we look at this. We say, if my will is broken, if my want to is broken, if my love for God isn't what it should be, that means that there is something on the throne that shouldn't be. Now, I've got to get that off. This man believed in the God of the God that blessed this pool. But he didn't follow him, didn't serve him. When he heard about, I don't know if you heard about Jesus, but if he did, he didn't do anything about it. Later on, when he was asked who healed him, he had no idea who it was. No thought of, if this man could just cause me to get up, maybe there's something godly about him. Maybe he is this Messiah. He had none of that knowledge. At least he didn't reflect any of it. Too much distance between you and God will create this, not just a blind spot, but it will strengthen the will of the flesh. We read that time and time again in Scripture. If you've got something hanging out on that throne that should not be, you've got a problem. And not just one problem, but many. You know, we have these conversations. Well, where, you know, if God's supposed to be here, I feel like I've got to cheat my family to put God there. That's not how that works. Because I find that if I'm serving God the way that I'm supposed to be, that puts me as a father, as a husband, as everything else on a higher level. Means not only can I love them more than I would if I didn't love God right, but I'm loving them better because I'm answering to God in it. It makes it more possible. Well, now here's the thing. I gotta work. I gotta put the hours in. I've gotta, you know, so if I'm out of church for 5 or 6 months, you know, you really gotta understand that because I've gotta travel for work and I've gotta do this. And how do you know you've got 5 minutes to sign, five months to sign a contract so you can stay gone for 5 months? How do you know? What blessings are you leaving on the table because you've put that work trip? You know, I used to do that with guys that come over from India, they'd come over from China, they'd come over from all over the world. They would stay at one of the tech companies that worked around Livonia and Southfield, and they would stay for a 5 month contract, a 6 month contract. Every now and then it'd be a 2 year contract, and it would be them and their families would be at home. And I go, wow, why are you doing this? 5 months, 6 months away from your family, are you going to bring them over? What are you going to do? Oh no, this is for them. I make money, I send it back to them, and when I'm done, I'll go back and I can start a job there, start a business over there doing that. For 5, 6, 7 months, you put your work number one, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Your family's going to collapse without you, man. What would I say about church? What would I say about the Lord? Lord, give me 5 months. Folks, he gave you an eternity. An eternity. I will give him 5 months. I will give him the rest of my years because of what he has given to me. So again, we must ask ourselves, what is it that sits on the throne that throws my will? And I've heard this before, and I firmly believe it. It ought to be Jesus on the throne of your heart, and it ought to be the flesh on the cross. You understand? Bible says to mortify the flesh, to crucify the flesh. That's where it ought to be. All right, listen, let's go ahead and say something out of anger. No. Let's go ahead and cheat at this, steal this, rob this, do it. No, let's not. Put that on the cross. Crucify the flesh. Keep Jesus on the throne. What's sad is that you know the solution is standing right in front of you. I love this verse 6. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. You know how silly we look sometimes? We hold our Bibles, we read a little bit. This is kind of a big one to do that with. That's, arm's not big enough for that. Lord, I don't understand what I'm going to do here. But I'm going to sit here and wait for you to magically make it better. I don't know. I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know how you want me to do it. Blah, 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 blah. When the answer's sitting right there closed. Well, how can I, Lord? How can I have peace in the midst of this trouble? How can I control my anger? How can I control my lying? How can I control the cheating and the stealing? How can I control these things, Lord? It's right here. It's right here. Almost every problem. Now listen, there's going to be some things that happen. There's going to be hurts. There's going to be losses. There's going to be terrible things that happen on this dying planet. And it won't take all the pain away. But it will bolster you. It will help you heal. It will help you to live. And folks, do you understand the power of that? In this cursed world, bad things will happen. But would you rather go through it without the comfort? Would you rather go through it without the guidance? Would you rather go through it without the words of God ringing in your ears? All of His promises to love you, to never forsake you. Things that you can do to help. Not forsaking the fellowship of your church. All the things that we see in there. They're valuable. They're important to your life no matter what you're going through. Even if the doctor says there's no chance and God's choosing not to heal you, it doesn't matter. There's still use of that scripture in your life. The Word of God is not a magic trick. It's not a four-leaf clover. And all of a sudden when I don't get my wish, all of a sudden I can throw it out. No, it's there to walk you through the bad times. Right? This... How do we put it? Ain't none of us getting out of here alive, folks. Barring the rapture, ain't none of us getting out of here alive. Bad things will happen. Hearts will break. But I'd much rather have my heart broken and mended by the Lord Jesus Christ than have it broken and stay broken because I refuse to listen to Him. Because I refuse to listen to Him. How many people do we know that have ever broken their leg or arm or whatever and said, you know what, I'm fine, don't worry about it. Now, to some of us, you know, in a movie, that looks real tough, right? Oh, they broke their leg and they marched for 5 more miles. That is a man's man. But if it was your next door neighbor, you'd say, why wouldn't he just go to the doctor? He said he's a man's man. Okay, all right. We'd be like, what's wrong with you? Get in the car, I'll take you myself. Let me reset it for you. Come on. Like if it's an insurance thing, we'll sneak up to Canada. I don't know. But come on, man. But that's what we do. We've got a hurt. We've got a sorrow. We've got issues. And we sit with a broken leg and a broken heart because we refuse to look Jesus in the eye and say, yes, I will be made whole. I will. Please. Lord, please fill my days with peace. Lord, please fill my hours and my minutes with your presence. I know you're not stopping the storm. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. I don't know. But I'd much rather have you on the boat than to brave this thing alone. At least I know that I went out doing it right. At least I know that I fought through this storm serving you and loving you and being loved by you and reaping the rewards that come from the sound decisions you've told me to make. Oh, I'd much rather. It is so easy in life to fall off into bitterness, fall off into anger, fall off into depression. Why? Because we never rose and took our bed up. Lord makes it plain for us so often what to do. And we don't look to Him. And we don't listen to His answer. And we don't do anything. I like this about this man, that he doesn't sit there and laugh. Because if you tell anybody who's been laying on their backside for 38 years to get up and walk just like that, they would probably laugh at you. I can't. This is what I am. This is who I am. I'm stuck. I don't know about you, but after I was saved, I read in the Word of God that I'm not stuck in anything. That I'm not a slave to anything anymore. And that if I'm behind bars, I'm there because I stepped in there. But that door don't close behind me. The Lord made me free, right? Lord makes you free. You're free indeed. No, you don't get. I've been practicing. It's just, it's not going to happen. You put those shackles on yourself, but you're not going to be able to lock them in. You can't fool the Lord. Fool me, fool your neighbor, fool your best friend. You'll never fool God. He knows you don't have to. He knows you're not stuck. Because He's offered to you His power, His wisdom, His knowledge, His discernment. He's put you in a church filled with people willing to address the same with you, to walk in accountability and encouragement. If you know the solution is there, why would you not take it? If the medicine's in the cabinet, all you would but need to do is to grab a hold of it. And we know we can trust the source. Listen, I know I can trust my God. I know I can. Right? You want to talk about having a broken heart? I've had a broken heart. You've had a broken heart too, no doubt. I've had a broken heart and I didn't think about the Lord at once. And it was horrible. And I was angry and I was hurt. And I just started lashing out at things. And I got real nasty about things. And then when I was with the Lord and I was walking with Him and the hurt came, and I honored Him, and I respected Him, and I obeyed Him, I never once felt alone. I never once fell into despair. I sorrowed, I mourned, but I did not fall into despair. Because there's a difference in geography. If I know I can trust Him, there's no other safe ground. There's no other logical ground. If I know who He is, and I tell you what, He has proven Himself time and time again to me and time again to you, then we ought to trust Him. Trust Him! Don't fall off on the things that do not make any sense. Don't fall off on the things that provide no help. Stop waiting for things to happen your way. Sitting by that pool just waiting for the angel to trouble it. How many people, I wonder, sit around and wait for the pain to just go away? Lord, let me wake up tomorrow not even remembering how to do that particular sin. That doesn't work. Lord, I pray that tomorrow when I wake up, I'd have had the conversation I know that I'm supposed to have. Lord, take Your hand, put it in my back, and puppet me through obedience so that I can say that it's done. That's not how God works. If you're in a situation, He put you in that situation. You are light, you are salt, do it up. Fulfill your responsibility in that situation. We see the kind of a line here of everything that he has to say. And I'm not picking on him, right? This man went through a lot, so let's not be critical. But at the same time, let's learn if we can. The impotent man answered, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool." Ah, you don't understand. I don't have enough help. I don't have enough help to get through this. I'm not strong enough. There's nobody here to do it for me. It is somebody else's responsibility. It's not right. I don't have anybody to do this for me. You know, most of life is going to be like that. I mean, I tell you what, I've always found help when I needed it. But most of the time, you're going to have to do something. You know what I mean? If it's your sin, there's nothing I can do as your pastor to fix it. If it's your marriage, there's nothing I can do to fix it. If it's your parent-to-child relationship, child-to-parent relationship, I can't fix it. You know what I can do? I can liberally apply the Word of God. I can offer advice, discernment, and wisdom. That's the best I can do. But until you pick those tools up and go to work, what can I do? It's not me. Well, you don't understand. God's not making this super easy. This world is not super easy. You know how easy life would be without sin? You know how easy life would be? But instead, there it is. Sin done against us, sin that we've done against others, sin that we've done, and it's a victimless crime, and all we've really done was disobey God, and that crime was just against Him. Now, what we need to do is stop waiting for others to make those things right. We need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I am ready to be made whole. Lord, let me take your wisdom. Let me take your word. Let me apply it to me. Let me apply it to me. Let me put it to work. Give me the boldness. Give me the strength and the wherewithal to do this. Because a lot of times that's what we need, willpower. Lord, that's too tempting for me. Help me. That's what we need to do. We need to get serious with God. Stop blaming someone else. Stop waiting for someone else to drop you into the pool. Go to Christ. Another thing that we say here is, I'm too limited. While I am coming, another steppeth down before me. While I'm going so slow and it's just not going the way that I want it to. If your eyes are on Christ, the momentum will pick up, I promise. Will it make everything better? No, I mean, again, let's be realistic, right? I'm not Joel Osteen, wouldn't want to be. Well, if you just do the best you can, everything will work out. Even Paul kept his thorn in the flesh. And many times those thorn in the fleshes are there for a reason, for a purpose. They're doing something. They're growing something in your life, affecting a change. So why? Well, let's not worry about why. But you don't understand how limited I am. God knows how limited we are. He knows how bad it hurts. He knows everything about you in your situation. He knows how much of a pull this thing has over you. He knows how far back this pain goes. He knows all of it. He knew everything about us when He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. Why do you think He offers His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness? And oh yeah, by the way, the stuff I keep saying, the power of the mercy and the come out. Why does He do that? The wisdom, why does He do that? Because He knows us. We referred recently on how the Lord kept interrupting conversations people would have in their own heads. Why? Because He knows they need a teachable moment. And they were too cowardly to they're too cowardly to ask. That's how much He knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Don't think for a second you're too limited to obey God, because it has little to do with you and everything to do with the power of God. So stop waiting for things to happen your way. I mean, that's what He was doing. He was just kind of waiting. Somebody else, I mean, somebody's got to drop me in the pool. This pool will pay off one day or another. I will get in that pool, when the answer was Jesus Christ. Standing right in front of Him. So if the question is, will you be healed? The answer, of course, is Jesus Christ. And I have heard that Jesus is the answer from this hyper-spiritual sense for as long as I've heard people talk crazy. Well, you just, when you're having a hard time, just whisper His name. If you've got a place where you struggle, just write His name. And the devil will flee. You know, if you're whispering Jesus' name, why don't you call out to God the Father? Why don't you ask Him for wisdom, peace, sound-mindedness? Why don't you ask Him for the things you need in that situation, instead of using His name like a lucky rabbit's foot? Because to me, that's what it sounds like when I hear Him preaching like that. Well, you just, here's what I do. I've got a keychain that says Jesus on it, and when I'm struggling, I grab that keychain and I just... Wouldn't that be weird if I talked about my wife that way? I mean, I tell you, sometimes I'm sitting there at the house and I just need someone, I need an adult to talk to. So in my pocket, I got a keychain picture of my wife, and I just pull that out. And go over and talk to her, right? Is what you're saying. How ridiculous that is. Stop worrying with the idols. Stop worrying with the pictures and the weird practices taught by people who are more concerned about cash than Christ. Stop listening to these fools. You go to Christ yourself. Lord, help me! That temptation is back. That anger is back. That bitterness is back. That problem is here again. Lord, help me! Lord, it's late and I'm lonely. Lord, I'm hurting. Please be with me. Just be there with me for a little bit. Can we talk? Tell you what, Lord, let me open up the book of Psalms. Can I just read these to you? I'm not a poet, but these guys were, and I like to read some that match how I feel. Because, you know, you ever been there? I'm sure you have. Where there's no words to go along with the sorrow. What am I supposed to say? I don't even, like, I've already told you that I'm bummed out about this. I've already told you that I'm hurt, and I've already told you I'm gutted. Like, what else do I have to say? But I desire closeness with you. So what do? I read through the book of Psalms. You know what my kids do when they want attention? If you've ever come over to my house, you know exactly what they do. They run upstairs, they grab anything they can find, and they bring it down to you, and as loud as they can scream it, I got it, that's right here, I got it. You know, the Lord longs for that. Talk to Him. Go to Him. Open up the Word. Well, I don't know what passage best fits what I'm going through. You know, that's one of the many reasons why you have church fellowship, right? It's one of the reasons why I'm here. Because if I don't know it off the top of my head, I'm sure going to try to find it for you. And we'll talk about it. You ever call up a friend, pray with you? You ever call up a friend, hey, you read a chapter, I'll read a chapter. I need some help right now. Oh, the answers that are there. And what we need to do is we need to go to Him. Not in some cheap, weird, mystical, lucky rabbit's foot way. But in a precise, methodic application of an answer kind of a way, go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ignore Him. Don't ignore Him. You know, every time we come in together for some preaching, be it here at a conference, every time you sit and you hear the Word of God preached by a real man of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is giving you an answer to either a problem that you have, problem that you had, or a problem that you will have. And you grab a hold of that, you build your life up with it. Every time there's the answer. Every time you crack the book and you read through it and you're taking notes and you've got it there, you've got the answers. But how often do we ignore them? Either because we're going too fast, we're not interested, whatever have you. The radio's kicked on, the television's going, we picked up the phone, we got on social media, whatever. We're ignoring Him. How sad it would have been for this man when he was told to rise if he just kind of sat there going, all right, buddy, that sounds nice. Good sermon. And we walk away. No, we should take the Word of God, apply it liberally to our lives. Don't ignore what the Bible has to say. Don't ignore what Christ is offering to you through wisdom and grace and through discernment that He offers to give to us. And don't ignore your responsibility in the matter. One of the first messages that we see Jesus Christ preaching is what? Repent. Repent. Well, yeah, but it's complicated. It's not. You know, from the outside perspective, maybe it is. From an outside perspective, maybe it is complicated. She said this, he said that, they said this, and then they got involved, and before you know it, there was a food fight, and then all of a sudden there was this big cleaning bill, and then that guy didn't get paid, so now he's suing this person. But biblically, the answer is always quite simple. Repent. Forgive, trust, obey. Super simple. We make it hard. Well, I tell you what, I'll answer for my sin as soon as some of these other people. You're not going to answer after them. What happens if you get to answer first? What if you stand before God first? And oh yeah, I hate to break any bubbles, but so-and-so will not be able to you'll not be able to use so-and-so as an answer for why so much of what you did in your life burned up. What? You're going to look there, there's going to be nothing there. Why? Because you poisoned so much of your service to the Lord because you didn't serve the Lord the way you were supposed to. And you're not going to be able to sit there and say, okay, but so-and-so did these awful things that it made me feel that it was okay for me to do that. So really, you need to, that's not going to work. You partook of His grace. You partook of His blessings. You partook of the forgiveness. You're covered in His blood. And you bring nothing to say thank you. Nothing to say thank you. Don't ignore Him. Don't ignore Him. Don't wait. I think that's our favorite answer to give, but not our favorite answer to hear. Right? All right, you need to handle this sin. Well, He's preached on that 5 times. Why is He still preaching on that 5 times? He don't know what I'm doing. I know He don't know what I'm doing. Why is He preaching on that all this many times? Because the Lord won't let him get over it. I sat there one time, Brother Hugan, hit on the same point 7 or 8 times. I'm like, man, beat that dead horse, man. Beat it. You know what? I sat there and I was thinking about it on the way to work. I'm like, man, he said this and he said that. And man, I don't know why he keeps bringing it up. And then all of a sudden you ever get curious and you start doing what you're supposed to be doing with the Word of God. And all of a sudden it clicked. And that was probably one of the reasons. Found a specific example that not perfectly, but was adjacent to what he was talking to in my life. And I got that right. You know what? 2 weeks later, I'm sitting in church, and he does it again. Why? Because I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one. Now listen, what do we get out of that? Don't ignore the Lord. Listen to Him. Hear it out. So often things are repeated, and they're said time and time again. Why? Because we say, wait. I will handle that. But today's an exception. I will handle that, but this week is an exception. I'll quit doing that when I feel better. What if you never feel better and you die in rebellion? And don't you know, your sin is not meant to be a crutch to get you through life. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Mount up with wings as eagles. That's a terrible, terrible quotation. But it's a good verse. We're not meant to hobble. We're meant to soar. I'm tired of using my sin as a crutch. How about you? When do we stop saying wait? Because I'll tell you this, there'll never come a morning where you wake up in that water healed on your own. You must turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must go to Him. What we need to do is we need to rise. Verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. You know, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but I'll do it. All right, you want me to forgive this person? That don't make a whole lot of sense because that person deserves me to kick their tail, but I'll do it. Now listen, I don't quite understand why this is wrong. I get a lot of enjoyment out of it, and I see where the Scripture says it. I don't know if I agree with it, but I can't deny that it says it, so I'll do it. We do it immediately, we do it with the right heart, we do it with the right attitude, and we find God's version of success. And it's far better than our version was. It's far better than the crutch. We need to rise not just because Christ told us to, but folks, because Christ told us that we could. that we could. Well, no, I can't right now. I can't right now. I can't. I'm no good. I know this, blah, 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 blah. Let that stuff go. He told you you could. Well, I can't heal. He told you you could. Well, I can't get over this. He told you you could. So who's the liar? Me or the Lord? We ought to know better than to call him a liar. We need to be able to obey and rise to what he told us to do because he told us we could. Another thing we need to do is not listen to certain things. Number one, don't listen to the flesh. I wonder what it must have been like after 38 years to stand up and pick up your bed. How neat that would be. Now, I just moved recently, sister. You know what I'm talking about. I just moved recently. I had a hard time picking up my bed. Right? As a matter of fact, carrying my mattress, I fell through a window, cut my hand all the way up. This guy, all right, here we go. Now, obviously, I don't think he quite had the mattress that we had. I don't think that company was in business. But, all right, here we go, and I'm walking off. Any part of him could have said, nope, that's not what we do. That's not my habit. I've never done that before. Don't listen to the flesh. Listen to the Lord. Right now, forgiveness is hard. Getting rid of the sin is hard. Enacting a new behavior is hard. Trusting him during grief is hard. All these different things. And they're legitimate things. I'm not trying to diminish them. We struggle with them because they're hard. But don't listen to your flesh when it says it's impossible. Do it. Because it can be done. It's hard, but it can be done. Don't listen to the flesh. Push. Obey. Do what he says that you can do. He gets up. He starts walking out with the bed. Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Verse 12 will go down. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. You know what we're surrounded by? We're surrounded by a bunch of people who so far away do not believe in the resurrection or the ability or the power of Jesus Christ. Right? They don't believe in the power of God's word in your life so much that they get confused and they get combative about things. Well, what do you mean you stopped drinking? Don't you know it's a disease? You're stuck. You're going to have it for the rest of your life. Yeah, but you know what? I went home. I poured it all out. And there's some rough patches here and there, but I trust in the Lord. There's some people that I can call when I get the temptation. There's some things that I've learned to do. And I got with my pastor and I did this and I did that. And you know what? It's been about 3 or 4 weeks. It's been about 6 or 7 months. It's been about 20, 30 years. And I still ain't touched it. No, you don't. That's not how that works. No, that's not how it works in my own strength. But this is Jesus Christ. Well, now here's the thing. Yeah, that hurt. That happened to you when you were a kid. That really changed who you are. It changed multiple parts in your whole personality and character and your subconscious. It all evolved from this. You'll never be any different. I don't know. I feel freedom. I don't know, I have forgiveness in my heart. Oh no, I got past all that. Now again, there's some things that will crop up from here or there, and I know who to go to, and I know what to do, and I've got a wonderful church family that supports me, and I can call any single last one of them, and we can talk these things over. There are some temptations that came from that I can sit there, and I can resolve real quick through the Lord, and I can reach out to people that will help me, and I've got all the tools available, so I don't know. Kind of seems like Jesus did it. Again, it's not a perfect erase of it. He never got those 38 years back, did he? But all the same, here I am, functioning while you're telling me that it can't be done, functioning while you're telling me that I'm breaking some kind of a law that's so important to you. Because I tell you what, you will find so many people out there more interested in the external than they ever are of the internal. And I love a God who loves me on the inside. I think I've referenced this before. Yeah, this song got stuck in my head about 2 weeks ago. Still can't get it out. You ever hear that? The Cathedral sing the song, Georgiance. You know how Georgiance, bass singer for the Cathedrals, every now and then he'd come up with something weird to sing. And this one was called The Inward Man. And the first verse goes, I got up this morning, looked in the mirror to see one big ugly face looking right back at me. But I remembered what the good Lord said. I was holding his book in my hand. He said, don't worry about your dilapidated face. I'm only looking on the inward man. And halfway through the song, he goes, Lord, you know I can't be beautiful. Even in my heart, you see, without the help of your guiding hand and your constant watch over me. You know, there are a lot of ugly things that will happen. But you know what? I'm so glad for a God that cleans out my inside. Well, what about the outside then? Well, a godly heart is never hidden by a worldly exterior. It's not. Well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he does. And in that heart, right, is the fertile soil where the fruit that you're showing is growing. Right? What kind of fruit are you growing? Right? If we look and we can see what's growing there, then yes, the Lord is doing something on the inside. If not, then we know. But don't listen to people who are more interested in the outside. No, shh. Now listen, you go over there and you tell them you're sorry, they're going to think that they won. You go over there and you go over there and you get in front and you confess this sin and you start changing the way you're acting. People are going to notice there's something wrong. No. You get right, see what happens. Get right, see what happens. You get right and you'll see rejoicing and excitement and praising the Lord. Don't listen to those who are selling you the hurts. Don't. Talked to somebody one time and they were going through psychology school. And they were telling those of us in the break room, oh yeah, yeah, like typically you can look at a problem and you can guess how many sessions you need to have before we can resolve that particular issue. I go, what? Like, oh yeah, like if you know that you've got to invest like a lot of energy into it, you want them for about 50, blah, blah, blah. And just went through this whole mathematical thing. I go, that kind of sounds like the sales structure we have over here. Well, yeah, kind of. Oh, no, you're never going to heal. It's always going to be a problem. No, you're stuck that way. It's a disease. Blah, blah. You know, God can do revolutionary things inside of you. You trust him? He can. Now, again, there's some things that are going to be there. Some things you got to work out. Medical things. You got to take your... Doctor's giving you pills. Take your pills, right? Right? I've known some people to do that. Well, I've got... Doctor says I've got diabetes, but I'm trusting in the Lord, and I'm not taking my insulin. Lord gave you. Lord, let us create insulin for you to take the medication. Okay, do it. But the point I'm trying to get to is this: don't listen to the people selling you the booze, who are telling you that this is a perfectly normal way to live. Don't listen to the people that you're out hanging out with at 2 a.m. or the people that are causing trouble, the family members that want you to just quiet down about this God stuff and start hanging out with us more. Don't listen to the people selling the nonsense over what's nonsense or not. Again, the main reason why so many of these Jews, these Pharisees, these Sadducees, these scribes, one of the main reasons they were so upset about Jesus Christ is because they were the powerhouse, and with Jesus on the scene, everything was going to change. He came to fulfill the law. They were making money off of the law. You following me? The Messiah had come, and he was enacting part two. And they were fighting it. Well, no, you're never going to change. You're never going to grow. You're never... You know what? That's not the God I serve. The God I serve can take a man named Abram in his old age, could have no kids. His wife Sarai, who in her age could not have kids, and from them birth a whole nation and change their names. A God who can take a person whose name is the supplanter, turn him into the father of nations. A man who could take an angry, ugly, venom-filled man like Saul, turn him into a man like Paul. whose words we each and every last one of us have taken comfort and instruction from. There ain't nothing going on with you God can't heal, God can't fix. The thing is for us, though, is that we have to obey Him. We have to want what He gives us more than we want anything else. More than we want to do something else. The danger is us sitting there with the sermon preached, the Word of God open, the answer staring us in the face, and us going, I'd much rather wait for the pool to be troubled. If God gives us the answer, grab hold of it, hug it, and put it into practice. Folks, it sounds cliche, but obedience is the key. Obedience to God the Father is the key. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we don't deserve your constant watch over us, but Lord, you give it to us, and we're so thankful. Lord, there are so many things that could be fixed in our lives if we just did what you told us to do. If we turned to you and trusted you and put our faith in you and exercised our faith like you told us to. Lord, I pray that you give us the good sense to grab a hold of your word and do something with it. Lord, help us not to be foolish. Help us not to walk away from a good thing. Help us not to leave answers and, Lord, the glory and the blessings laying on the table. Lord, we want to be right by you. There's no excuse for not. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.